From the UK
to the USA,
you're rocking with the EC Twins.
Hey, how you doing, guys? Welcome to the EC Twins podcast, episode 3. Still in quarantine, doesn't look like there's much of a light at the end of the tunnel yet.
No. I've no idea. Nobody has an idea. The only word I can describe it as is weird.
Yeah, but imagine weird. If somebody had told you just 2 months ago, imagine what would happen if there was a pandemic. You'd have this version of yourself in your head where you're dressed in military fatigues, carrying a gun, blasting zombies, and in reality, you're just standing in the street with a grilled cheese sandwich going, this is weird.
Just wearing pyjamas. So. Anyway. I swore to myself when I was young, and I swore all my life I would never wear a robe. I saw it as a dressing gown, like the toweling. Yeah. I saw it as the ultimate, like, I've given up.
Yeah.
And they're unbelievably comfortable.
I have done that.
Yeah, you own those robes like we've been given robes. Like. I swore when I was a kid I would never wear robes.
I did it at a period where I put on weight. So, like, obviously the belt was going round, but I just wasn't fastening it properly.
Well, I've got
naked everywhere else, just giving up.
I've got a picture of me fat in a robe that I will be posting soon,
from my fat. But
I swore to myself I would never wear a robe, I would never wear slippers, because it's just I've given up.
Have you ever wear slippers?
I've not got to slippers yet.
Good.
I'm not wearing slippers. I'd rather walk over broken glass in bare feet than wear slippers.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to keep the... You could be a married man, married for 100 years. Keep the sex appeal as much as you can. Keep the mystery alive. Don't give up.
Yeah, if you're quarantined with your boyfriend and you're a girl, don't come out there in your stinking old slippers.
Or if you're quarantined with your boyfriend and you're a boy, it works both ways.
Or if you're quarantined with your girlfriend and you're a boy, okay?
Yeah,
don't.
Girlfriend and your girl.
Don't let
yourself
go. Come on now.
Yeah. Anyway, I was watching a podcast from one of our favorite comedians today. He said a lot of the comedians are basically trying to accept that maybe live touring is gone forever.
I mean, it's like terrifying. It's not something I've not thought about.
Yeah, it's what's going on?
I have no idea. Well, it's not. I know what's going on, but I mean, what's gonna happen here?
I have no idea. No, you don't know what's going on. Nobody knows what's going on. 50%.
Well, I know what's going on in as much as I can't work.
Right.
50, are we? I floated behind.
50% of my friends are like, this is the end of the world. Stay at home, you idiots. And 50% of them are like, this is just some government manipulation. We're going to rebel. And I'm with both of them.
I'm like, let them both have their say, because we don't know.
I mean...
We'll find out, won't we?
I don't know why one side is screaming at the other side. And it's like, neither one of you know. Why are you screaming? Why don't you just say, what have you heard?
Yeah.
Compare notes, because I'm sort of like... I definitely, obviously, we stay
communicate with each other. Communicate with all those guys who are taking to the streets with guns and all those people who are locked in. Turn the news off and communicate with each other.
To be fair, I did watch a video of a guy explaining that today, and he had one tooth in his head and a tramp stamp on his face. And I'm not even joking. And I thought, it's a little hard to take advice from somebody with meth mouth and a tattoo on his head.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't listen to him. Don't communicate with him. Not that individual.
Unfortunately, on both sides, it's always the people who are on the extremes of either side are always the people who you're like, that person's
just communicate. Don't shut anybody down, you know. Absolutely. Even me and Mark, we have discussions about it, because he goes, look at these fools. And I'm like, yeah, but let them go and do what they want and let them find out.
To be fair, what we have done, especially with your heart surgery that you had last year, we've followed the rules. We've said, okay, we're going to quarantine.
Yeah, better safe than sorry.
Yeah, but I have said at times, let me listen to these protesters. Let me hear what they have to say. And then I get shouted down from some of my other friends. And it's like, no, I'm just saying, what have they had to say? What are the numbers here?
My main thing again is turn off the news and talk to people. Off the news and talk to people. What information do you have? What information do you have? Share information.
Yeah, the news was like, wait a minute, people are starting to rebel. The numbers haven't been as drastic as we thought. People aren't as terrified as they were. Murder hornets. Tell them about the murder hornets.
Wait a minute.
We showed them the UFOs. That didn't work. Show them the murder hornets.
So we've got murder hornets. Just let me know how much toilet paper I'm going to need to deal with this. There's what murder hornets, Mark. Let's go and buy up all the toilet paper. That seemed to work the last time.
Yeah, what the hell was that?
I don't know.
You know, as touring musicians, it's a scary time, but we're not going to dwell on that.
It's a scary time after building our career since the age of 16 years old, crawling from poverty out of the gutter on our hands and knees to finally get somewhere. Mm-hmm. And the career has been so incremental and gradual to get here and then probably have it brought down by a pandemic. But that's why we're going to talk about this subject today, how we became successful in the music industry, and tips we've got for you. And
it doesn't even have to be just the music industry. I think it's
life.
It could be a relationship. Okay.
Yeah, sure.
But yeah,
life.
Okay, for us, it has to be a tip to how to become successful in the music industry. And to parlay nicely into what we're going to talk about, we have just released on Friday, and we're not here to promote, you know, I guess we can mention it because that's why you're tuning in. But that's not what this is about. But coincidentally, we released an EP on Friday on a dance label run by a guy called Don Diablo. The EP is called Disco's Not Dead, and it's a two-track EP. And that's something we worked towards for many years.
We chiseled away. I mean, we chiseled away. If you listen to our whole back catalogue, you'll hear us keep poking at that sound. But right. We did it with a song called Number One. We did it with a song called I Won't Let You Down, Lady Love.
You can go further back, Alistair. You can go to Disco Cure, which I can't Disco even find Cure, anymore. Yes, you can go to Trapped in Miami. But we've always pushed away at that disco sound, and it was never, you know, they just weren't ready for it. And I think maybe we got it right this time, or maybe the scene with the fact that EDM...
I don't know, because the labels are like, oh my God, this is a totally fresh sound. And then we speak to people who know us.
Yeah, and we said, what do
you
think?
And they've seen us in the studio, and they say, well, you guys have been doing this.
But that story parlays nicely, because now we have it. We made the song on Christmas Day, Christmas Eve, into Christmas Day. It was like a 20-hour session in the studio.
Merry Christmas, Malik.
Happy Christmas, guys.
Such a great Christmas, eh?
Very festive.
All the families here.
What would I really want for Christmas if I could have anything? And I thought, yeah, I want to make the music that I love and have it. If anybody could have made my dream come true for Christmas, I'd have said, yeah, I want my song signed and I want them to be the songs that I like. And I think we made Energy that night on Christmas Eve into Christmas Day. And yeah, that's one of the songs that's been signed. And so it brings us on to what we want to talk about today.
Yeah, just about success. For us, it's in the music industry, but it, as my brother said, I think you can use it in just life in general or any career. And the first, a few secrets, but the first one is resilience. And that is more important than talent. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
it's more important
than
talent.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you can do it with no talent.
No, I think it was Steve Martin who said, be undeniably good and repeat. So yes, you have to be good. You know, as I just mentioned, we've made songs, the first song we ever made, pretty much like if you're a comedian, the first joke you'll ever write will be hacky. You know, the first relationship you ever get into will be a mess. You know, or maybe not. Maybe you always hear those stories, he married his childhood sweetheart. That shit so doesn't work on me, man. I think, oh God, that's lame.
But it's like these people who live to 100, 101 years old, and they go, oh, how can you give us a secret to what you did to live to 101 years old? She didn't do anything, or he didn't do anything. That person has done nothing with their life, no stress. They're probably dumb. They've never been out their own back garden. They've never experienced anything. Actually, there's some people who went through wars and stuff, but it's these really old people where you get that.
I don't think the ones who went through wars live very long.
No.
I think you're absolutely right. I think the ones who lived through wars... But they didn't go fighting the war.
Yeah, we're going visiting Doris in Yellowknife, Canada. Doris is 142 years old. Doris, can you tell me what you did with your life? Doris did nothing with her life.
Yeah.
She's never stressed herself.
She's brain dead.
Yeah, brain dead.
I mean, not medically, but, you know, figuratively. So we're not here to push your lifestyle on you. We're just here to hang out with you. We can't actually hang out with you, but we can virtually hang out with you. And it's never anything too
serious. You can listen to this. This podcast is on all the podcast platforms, Apple Podcasts, all the podcast platforms. And you can listen to it in your car and hang out with us. Or you can watch us on YouTube.
We post some visuals on YouTube that might make you smile. But
if you want to look at two men who seem to be suffering from some kind of sunburn.
Yeah. Actually, the funny for us is always in, if you have that kind of twisted sense of humour, is actually in the failure...
Of which we've had a lot. Yeah. We've had a lot more failure than success. A lot more. Nobody sees that.
And when you get it, And it's not as if it doesn't hurt, you know, when
no, it's
when
really bad. I mean,
I hold, sometimes it fuels, it's like pouring petrol on my fire revenge. I'm like a Clint Eastwood character. I just want revenge. And we have got revenge occasionally, and it has been worth it more often than not.
People say just let it go, and I just let it go and move on. I'm not that guy. I'm sorry.
I'm going to get only the
equalizer.
Only the real nasty ones. If you was real nasty to me, you're
not getting little things.
Not
little things.
No, because there are times when you send out a track or something, or you'll be turned down for something that you really wanted. And in the long term, you'll end up getting there. We have also just at the beginning of this year had our first song signed and used for a TV show. We had a song picked up for a TV show on the CW called Riverdale, which also is a quick, I'll be able to tell you later on a story about how rejection turned into success. And in that case, within a couple of days. But actually, it was looking like quite a promising year, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was good. We've got the Discos.Dead EP out now, and then in 2 weeks, no, 3 weeks maybe, we've got that single out on Sony that was the Riverdale. So.
And then a lot of labels.
Somebody leaked a sample of that song. Somebody leaked a sample of that song, and it got, just put it out there as a leak, 40,000 plays. And that person who leaked that sample of that song...
no idea who that is.
That person who leaked that, and all I did.
You're in big trouble, buddy.
And all I did, I mean, all they did was leak.
You know, you don't own that. Sony owns that.
And I would never do anything to affect that relationship. So I mean, the person leaked a small clip of that song, and it went on
with
YouTube.
No promotion, just put it out there.
And it got such a positive. Such a positive reaction that it's on Sony.
And it was we sat to watch the episode, and it was on for the first scene, the opening scene. I don't know, two seconds.
They told us it was going to be a 1 minute love scene.
So that was awesome, man.
But it's not awesome.
The check's still going to clear, and we were like, "This is a great year. We achieved that goal, which was a dream. This is our first foray into soundtracks. Hopefully, it goes on to more movies, commercials, this kind of thing." And
well, they've asked us to write some music for a new Marvel TV show about some guy with tattoos.
Right.
However, they're not shooting anything at the moment.
Exactly. So we were like,
how are we supposed to make money then?
Prostitution.
Hey, looking for a good time, sweet cheek?
Yeah.
And what are
we worth?
As prostitutes?
Yeah.
Not a lot.
No. How did we get onto that?
I have no idea. I can't even backtrack to how we got on it. Success. Rejection.
We got our song signed, Riverdale, sexy, how do we make money as prostitutes? Anyway, I thought we had it this year, Alistair. I was like, nothing's going to stop us.
We're
on the best dance labels. We're making revolutionary music. Nothing can stop us short of a global pandemic, but that only ever happens in the movies. Huh?
Yeah.
And here we are.
I can't believe it.
Yeah.
What are you gonna do?
At least,
is the question I ask myself, like, every minute.
Wake up in a cold.
Got on my bicycle to clear my head and find I've been asking myself, like, on a regular basis, like, what the fuck am I going
to
do?
Well, you know what? I'm trying to look for a silver lining. One good thing is we managed to work out how to work webcams and live streams.
Yeah. We didn't know any of
that. And we always knew that we had to do this. We always knew we had to do live streams. We tried to live stream some of our shows, and we'd pay guys to come in and set it up, and it never worked out.
Which, had things been normal, I would have just paid somebody and said, come in.
But then we would have never known.
We'd have never learned.
I mean, we're trying to get as many positives out of this as we can. Trying to lose a bit of weight as well, aren't we?
Yeah, trying to lose a bit of weight. I'm going to, during this time, you're either going to end up really fat or in shape.
Or maybe a variation of both as time goes on.
And I've been watching a lot of, I've got to the low, I've watched everything now, every documentary. I've been watching programs about, I watched weird documentaries about fat people or super skinny people, or I watched one about furries, which I was discussing it with Mike. So, furries are adults who dress as they look like mascots for like soccer teams or baseball teams.
It's a good description.
But they hang out together, and I think they like to fuck each other dressed as animals.
You know what? I swear, once hopefully touring comes back and we go on the road, I'm going to take this camera and some form of microphone, and we have to go to a furry convention.
As furries.
As furries.
And I'm getting involved in the sex too.
Definitely. Definitely.
Definitely getting involved. We'll toss a card.
We'll go as like... I just Elmo and Cookie Monster.
Look, I just want to know. You never know. That could be my thing. I could be a furry. That could be my thing. Because, like you say,
seems unlikely. That brings me on to the next subject that you've been watching a lot of. Chris Hansen.
Oh, Chris Hansen. That's his name. You know the To Catch a Predator guy.
Wow. I can watch Pedophile Hunters all day.
Honestly, I want. If I see Chris Hansen, I'm going to bend him over that table and make love to him. He's awesome. I love him.
But to try and get back to the subject of what we're supposed to be talking about, yeah. I guess what resilience is the main thing. Because I guess one thing, and it has nothing to do with us, but you could choose your parents well and just be really super rich. Because
yeah, being born rich, it certainly expedites things. So we're not.
We did see that quote from one DJ whose parents were billionaires, and his quote was, my parents are incredibly rich. Billionaires, by the way. If you're a millionaire on $1 a day,
$1
a second, right?
Yeah. If I give you $1 a second, to give you $1 million, it would take 11 days or 11 hours. Let me do the math.
11 days.
11 days?
Yeah.
11 days.
11 days is a million seconds. 11 days, 11 seconds.
Yeah.
A million seconds in 11 hours, is there? Jesus.
Yeah. If I was to give you $1 a second, it would take 11 days to give you $1 million. If I was to give you $1 a second to give you $1 billion, it would take 33 fucking years.
So there's the difference. There's this guy's parents.
If somebody tells you they're a millionaire, it's nothing.
This guy's parents are billionaires. And his quote was, my parents never gave me anything. Everything I earned myself and I worked hard for it. Why didn't he just say, yeah, I've been privileged and I was very fortunate, but I had to work hard too? I would have respected that.
Shit. You're just out of touch, mate. You just don't get it, mate. You don't get it. So I guess who we're talking to is the people like us, the people who probably have to do a day job until the dream.
Yeah, because the rich kid, he has the connection. Like Taylor Swift.
Mate, you just sit there and
Taylor Swift was from one of the richest families in Texas, I believe, and her dad bought the controlling share of the record label. So, of course, I mean, come on. I'm not saying she didn't work hard, but her success can't be compared to some gangster rapper who worked hard from the bottom.
I always questioned why such a sexless, unfuckable meat puppet was up on stage in front of me, and I was getting told she was the second coming of Christ. And then what we always do, we always research. We go, how did this person get there? And of course,
she's crap.
Rich parents.
What's she doing here?
She can sing, but she's nothing special.
If there's ever anybody up there and you think, but how? Just do a quick Google search and you're like,
That's how.
Rich. Because screwing Taylor Swift would be like fucking a vomit-flavoured packet of crunchy cheese.
She just looks physically deficient to me.
She looks like olive oil from Popeye. we could tell you some funny stories about the rejections we've took. I'll tell a
taken.
Quick, taken.
He's the past participle of take. Man.
Sorry about that. Jesus Christ. I don't have the Queen's English, although I heard the Queen speaking today. Have you heard that bitch talk?
No.
Oh my God, it's insufferable. Oh, it's not
is
real English.
Is a human form.
Oh, it's terrible. That reptile in human's clothing. She's awful. Superior bloodline, forget it. Let's tell some funny stories, because we're not suggesting when we get the rejections we handle it well. I hold on to it like a Clint Eastwood character whose whole focus is to seek revenge on the person who's wronged him.
I'm like Denzel Washington in The Equalizer when somebody gives me a rejection.
So when we first got over here, we tried to get agents, and we were doing quite well. So we thought, now's time. We need help. We need an agent. We sent out emails to every agent. We got ignored from every agent, all except one, who said, I'd never represent these two guys. LOL. Because our faces don't fit. You know, we weren't standing behind the decks.
No, I think the fact that we're twins, it looked like an affectation. It looked like a gimmick. But what they don't understand is it's not like
it's irrelevant. It was a gimmick that was making $1 million a year.
Yeah, but it's not like it's a gimmick like we're throwing pizza on people.
No.
Do you know what I mean? It's
no,
like
but
we
I don't
were
know who you're talking about. Who's that reference to?
Is that like a gimmick like
could
that?
Be somebody with rich parents, maybe. But anyway,
Call back.
But anyway, the Yeah, I guess our faces just didn't fit for his agency. So he said, I'd never represent these two, LOL. Fast forward 3 years, we've got billboards all over the place, residencies all over the globe, and we're making, you know, seven figures a year. And guess who calls us back? This guy. And a lot of agents were blowing us up. So guess what we did with this guy? He's based in New York. We said, we'd love to meet you, mate. Come to Los Angeles.
Yeah, we didn't tell him that, you know, he'd rejected us all those years ago. We were just, oh, it was just great. It felt great that this guy who had offended us so badly a few years previously was now saying he wanted to represent us. So we said, fly to Los Angeles, meet us downtown Los Angeles on Thursday.
Yeah, and so we said, yeah, 10 a.m., whatever time it was, I don't remember. Meet us
downtown. Like 2 p.m.
Yeah, it was like in the afternoon. So 2 p.m. comes around. He's in downtown Los Angeles.
All the way from New York.
Yeah.
All the way from Manhattan.
Put himself in a hotel. We were in Las Vegas. We had a gig in Vegas that night. We weren't going to meet that fucking clown.
We never even intended to be in the same city. I didn't even want to be in the same state as him.
We didn't even answer. We just laughed our asses off when he called us.
From 2, the phone just rang and rang and rang. And we just kept, you know, where you divert people to answer phone so he knows. And then we just let him ring again. And then we just turned our phones off.
We just had the best day
ever.
I've
still never spoken to him to this day.
No. And he's a big deal in the industry. And I guess you're not supposed to do that. But you know what? If you don't roll with us, we'll roll right over.
I see the little prick out every now and again. I still want to smack his face in.
I shouldn't talk like that. We shouldn't talk like that. You shouldn't be like that. Ladies and gentlemen, that's not the right way to conduct.
It's not the way you'll get anywhere in life, but I was born under difficult circumstances.
That's the product of a
misspent youth.
Yes.
Bad education. What we're saying is, you don't understand how much rejection we took that drove us to that breaking point where we behaved in that manner. We know right from wrong, but we took so much rejection. They say, oh, the Beatles got rejected 12 times before they got signed. We got rejected maybe 12 times a day.
But if you're good, you have to
years.
Be... First and foremost, you have to make sure you're good. So hone your craft. Hone your craft if possible.
You have to make sure you're good and you have to know that you're capable of hard work. Mm-hmm. Me and you had practiced and we'd honed our craft. We'd worked for free. We'd turn up and play records anywhere for free and we'd worked hard.
And we were spending every single last penny that we had left renting out studios.
We'd blow.
Learning how to play instruments when our neurological pathways weren't exactly receptive and... Just
working day jobs and then coming home and working through the night.
Standing outside Home Depot.
Which is B&Q in the UK.
Yeah, you can stand over here in at least in LA, you can stand with illegal immigrants and for $50.
You can pick up like work, like removals.
Basically,
jobs
if somebody has a pot of paint, you can say, excuse me, mate, what's that pot of paint for? Oh, I'm going to paint my bedroom. You don't have to worry about that. Give us $50 and we'll do it for you.
Just so you know, never hire us if you see us outside of Home Depot.
Tell them the story, Alistair.
Okay, we used to stand outside Home Depot. Often we'd get removals jobs because we had a truck.
Right.
That we were okay at that, you know. We weren't good at it. I'm not a very strong man.
No.
You know.
Really, not very good at anything.
No, not very good at anything. No. So I wasn't very good at removals work. I am terrible at painting. I shake. I don't know why. Probably due to the fact that I lived off nothing but sugar for candy, junk and candy. But I shake. I'm rubbish at painting. This lady picked us up and she made the mistake.
I think there'd been an element of racial profiling.
Yeah, she made the mistake.
Because most of the guys, listen, anybody who tells you, oh, Mexicans are lazy.
I heard somebody say that, a lazy Mexican.
Out of here. Get out of here.
We're on lockdown at the moment. You go and walk down your street and you see the Mexicans out there with the
construction. It's not just Mexicans, but it's what they call Mexicans. It could be Salvadorans. It could be Guatemalans. It could be...
Immigrants.
They are hardworking people. This lady drove right by and picked up the two English-speaking white guys.
She picked up two English-speaking white guys thinking that I'd make her safer. I remember driving my truck out to her office and she said, I need you to build all this office furniture and I need you to hang some heavy pictures, kind of like this kind of thing. Really heavy pictures. And she said, are your tools in the truck?
She said, I'll leave you here and just get your tools.
I didn't have a tool.
We had a pocket full of what can best be described as thumbtacks.
We basically
built the heel of a shoe to hammer them into the wall.
So how we hung her pictures, as opposed to using proper wall mounts and things called roll plugs and all those things that basic people know how to hang a picture. I just banged
the crappiest nails
into a plaster wall with my shoe. I probably knocked 100 nails into a wall and gingerly hung up a very heavy picture.
And as soon as you hung the picture, as soon as it took the weight of the picture, the nails just went.
We built the furniture too, and after we'd finished, we built chairs and...
I thought as soon as we slammed this door...
No, but we'd finished building the chairs and the tables and we still had tons of screws and pieces and... Oh, God.
Is that terrible. Honest? That picture probably killed somebody.
Probably
fell on somebody's head and smashed it open.
I think somebody definitely died.
Like a watermelon.
Somebody definitely died after our terrible handiwork.
So that's it. Don't racially profile.
We should be up for manslaughter.
Yeah.
Don't pick us up if you ever see us standing outside, because you never know. This could really go tits up and we could end up outside Home Depot again. I don't suggest you pick us up.
Anyhow, that's the story, really. Resilience is the most important path to success.
And yeah, if you're resilient, honestly, I can't see... If you're resilient and are actually good, you know, you will know if you're good.
But there are other industries that we've worked in where we weren't the greatest, and I don't want to go on about them, but we were resilient and we made things happen.
Yeah, yeah. I've
resilience is key.
There's nothing special about us, and trust me, I've got all the qualifications and all the numbers. I'm a fact-based man to prove my mediocrities in life. And
I would say that we started underprivileged, lower class.
Oh no, we definitely started life underprivileged, but I just think that we weren't particular.
We had a lot of ground to make up, to be fair.
A lot. We started
to the billionaires that we're competing against now.
Yeah, we started from zero. And
it was a lot beneath zero.
We weren't particularly talented or smart or fast or strong or anything. We weren't particularly just two guys our strength is, yeah, taking rejection, and it hurts.
Well, when you lift a weight, obviously you start with a light weight and it hurts, and eventually that doesn't hurt. You've built the muscle stronger, so you pick up a heavier weight, and that's how you build muscle. You build strength. And I think that's, you have to get used to accepting the rejection and moving on from it. And it builds strength of character in this case. So I guess that's the podcast. I hope that maybe motivates some of you. I hope you laughed at some of our pain again, but I hope it motivates some of you who do face rejection and go, well, is this it? That's normal. That's going to happen.
I'm going to do a...
That's part of the journey.
So, yeah, this podcast is just us bouncing some ideas off you guys, just a kind of chat to hang out. You can hear it on all the podcast platforms, or you can watch us on YouTube. It's a new channel we've started.
Hit subscribe.
Yeah. Hit subscribe and the like button. I feel very Becky when I say that. You know, like the young Karen.
Yeah.
And then the old Karen is Suzanne, which is so ironic because that's my nosy neighbour is Suzanne.
Oh my God.
And she is she is an elderly Karen.
I remember that when we moved here, she complained about everything. And I'm like, what is your problem now? And she's like, excuse me, I've lived here for 50 years. I'm like, well, I'm here now and I own my house. So what's your point? So I don't get it.
She's a total elderly Karen.
All that means is that you paid $2 for your house and I paid substantially more than $2. And I don't even live here.
Mark doesn't even live with me.
I'm just here to tell you to shut up on my brother's behalf.
He owns the house, but he doesn't live with me. Well, he owns half of it.
We own together.
We own the properties we own half each.
Just the properties we own until COVID comes and probably takes them from us.
The bank will come. But, yeah.
Turns out that if you own 90% of a property and the bank owns 10%, the bank owns it.
You don't actually own it. Anything. Until you've paid up. But yeah, I'm going to make...
Hit like, hit subscribe. And also, if you could check out the Disco's Not Dead EP on all your Spotify's and your streaming platforms, iTunes. Have a listen. Hit like. Give us some support. Because let's face it, we're not working right now and we're bleeding money. And that won't cost you anything. But
and we don't like to ever charge for our shows or any of that nonsense. We don't like to put Patreons up, and we don't want you guys to pay. We want the corporations to pay.
We'd rather just build this up, and Coca-Cola, guess what? You can have it for $1 billion. We ain't going to charge these people. They're struggling enough. Jeff Bezos, get your bald-headed hand in your pocket. I'm sure he's going to be our first client now. This podcast is brought to you by Bill Gates' COVID vaccine. Yeah. Anyway, another podcast, guys. Thanks very much for tuning in. We'll keep them coming. Thanks very much.